Our meditation today, their Sangha, was about the elements and this dropping in to the maybe what we might say the non-mundane, meaning the non-concept. The non-way we usually experience the body, the world. In Buddhism, we talk about the mundane and the ultimate. The mundane being the everyday, the way we engage in life, the time, it's time to do this, right? It's 9 a.m. we do this. At 4 p.m. we do this. There's this food we must eat, not must. It's strongly encouraged. We eat this kind of food. It does this. We take in proteins. It does this. And then there's the ultimate realm, the realm of what we just practice with our meditation, being able to drop into the solidity of the body as a mountain, grounded in earth element and majestically reaching up to the sky. Because that is who we are as well in every moment. So even while we're quickly trying to drop the child off to daycare and get to work on time, we are still a mountain. It's the most beautiful realization that we can have. It's a truth. It's the ultimate truth. The moment of running in the rain to try to get out of it because we don't want to get sick. And at the same time, knowing that we are water. And even though we're trying to get out of it, and we have all these contraptions to make sure we don't get wet, like umbrella and raincoat and etc., which are absolutely necessary, right? That's the mundane reality of it. That's the yes, if Maricela, yes, it's really cool to be standing here in this water element and I'm getting soaked and I have to go to work. What do you want me to do about that? Right? That's real too. That is reality. And also, if in that moment we can also still be in touch that we are of that water still, and we are of the clarity of water, even while we're protecting ourselves from it, because we have this life that we live, this mundane life that we live, and we have to get from point A to point B, and we say words like we have to, right? We have to. And we forget to say words like, I want to, or it would be nice to, or maybe it's okay to. And our mind and our body also becomes stuck in the have to, that immediately becomes a constriction. Because it's that clamping down on the mundane, narrow world of this form moving through it. That keeps us in suffering. And in those moments when we keep touching in our movement through the day, the mountain element, the solidity of who we are in this body, even as it's trying to move so very quickly in this world these days, because that's the reality too. Nobody is ignoring the reality of the world, right? and us moving through it. I just flew from New Orleans this morning, landed at 12:10, right? It's real. Yeah. Flew from Charleston, South Carolina on, what was that? I can't remember. Thursday morning, 1 a.m., landed in New Orleans. So we're moving, right? So I'm not, sitting here thinking like, yeah, look at me. I live in the ultimate all the time because I do not. And also what I see and I realize is that in the moments when I forget is when I forget my Buddha nature, is when I forget my mountain state that's also there. The water in me that's also clear, that knowing that is under the knowing. Yeah. The flower freshness in me when I'm tired. And can I, yeah, so this meditation, I refreshed myself. I have my freshness of a flower. It's blooming. I was tired before, and then I came back to my flower freshness, and voila, it's just like that. And it's all hard like that too, right? And so our practice is living in this world, this mundane realm, where we have to get, see, we have to, right? It's so conditioned. I must, I have to, if I don't. And all that brings up this narrowness and this constriction that isn't just something happening in the mind, but it translates into our cells and the muscles of our cells and our nervous system. And we create knots and tension and pain bodies. And so it starts with this mind. And so what happens in this mind and this practice that helps us to keep remembering that we are of the nature of these elements? And when we can remember that, the cloud that it's turning to rain, and we, in this moment, we're running and moving and doing and all kinds of stuff. We're also of those elements of transition, right? The breath allows the movement, the warmth, right, allows the transformation. It's always available to us, right? And so at those edges, can we come back to our Buddha nature, the nature of interbeing, the nature of reconnecting with all of who we are and not getting stuck in this limited assumption that our reality is just a mundane reality, is just this body trying to make its way, just the squirrel trying to get its nut, right? I had a friend who'd always say, "I'm just a squirrel trying to get my nut." And I get that because we're all the squirrels trying to get our nut, right? Like that. It's almost, we're almost like that little squirrel. Like we're sitting there and we're like, got our nut, and we're like trying to figure out how to eat it. And if we're not eating it right, then we're trying to figure out how to store it so later we can send baby squirrels to college, right? We're that. And we're not just that because we're not a squirrel, really, because we've been given this gift of being birthed into the human form that has a mind that can be transformed. And that's the gift of this human form. It's this ability to drop back into the reality. That just beneath the apparent noticing of what else is here beyond this. And again, not denying the apparent nature of any physicality, any pain, any tension, any real timeline. One has to get this by this time, or, you know, like, if I don't get to the, like, these last 12 days for me, right? It's like, yeah, it's really nice to be like, yeah, I'm like the cloud flying freely. And if I miss the plane, I miss the plane, you know? Like, it's real. We have to do these things. We have, right? We have these, the society is constructed in a way to get from this to that. And then in that moment of still in movement, in motion, can we realize that we're also this? We're also of this ultimate dimension. And that's what keeps us free. So we can be free in any moment. Any moment we can stay free, or we can get free. Even in the midst of trying to get here or do this or finish this or whatever the quote thing is. And even the things we do that we do with great love in our hearts, with people we have great love in our hearts for, it can still be, it can become limited into engagements of constriction, where we're just getting through, you know, just getting by. Again, that squirrel in the nut, just getting my nut. And so in those moments when we forget is when we are missing the depth of the relationship we're currently engaged in. And then it becomes really two people or three people just getting it done, just getting whatever the task accomplished, and missing the gift of our humanity, which is a mind of love, a mind that in any moment can generate love and understanding and offer that gift to the person we're engaging with. You know, just walking down the street and smiling. That is our humanity showing up in the midst of getting to that next place on time, or getting that task accomplished. That moment of saying, hey, how was your morning? A few months ago, I was in Tallahassee, Florida for a retreat, and about three of us went to, I'm ashamed to acknowledge this, but I only go to Starbucks when I'm traveling. I only do local when I'm in Baltimore or anywhere else, but you know, when you travel, you don't know the local. We were at the Starbucks, and I watched this fellow practitioner with just deep pleasure and awe and respect as she spoke to the person who was asking her what she wanted to drink. The person had this face of like, you know, next, long line, you know, some of these Starbucks, long line, etc. And this person said, hi, the practitioner said, hi, how are you doing this morning? It's a really nice day, isn't it? And this person's face just opened up. It just went from this, that's it. It went from the mundane to the ultimate dimension, just like that, with that one word of kindness. And the person saying it wasn't just saying it because that's what we're taught to say. They were saying it with intention of an open heart. And the person's face just opened up. It just cracked open. It's amazing. And then all of us got extra stuff that we didn't have to pay for. So, you know, there's also the mundane effect of these practices. But all that happened because the person behind the counter felt seen, they were seen, and they were cared for with a few words. And it didn't take anything out of the person who asked. And so that's it, right? That right there, that goes from this mundane moment to a moment of remembering there's something else here. And so how do we do that in this fast-paced world, in this place of getting here, doing this, getting that done? How do we stay in heart? How do we stay remembering we are elements? How do we stay in connection to the ultimate reality? And so that's why we practice. We practice so that we keep these seemingly simple things that we practice with breathing, following our breath, walking, following our steps, eating, noticing what we're eating. We just keep doing that so that when we move away from those sort of focused practices, those kind of training, right, where it's still with us, we're building up that what we call imprinting, we're changing the neural circuitry so that we're remembering more often, oh, this is how I want to be in this world. I want to also be able to stay connected to my Buddha nature. I want to stay in practice. I want to keep coming back to my practice over and over again, because I want to really be this kind of person in the world. We don't even have to call ourselves practitioners. We just want to be this kind of person in the world. Because the more we show up in that way, the more the world changes. Right? This is what, when Thay says, peace in myself, peace in the world. It's like a really simple saying. We say it all the time, calligraphy's everywhere, you know, books, whatever. And that's what it means. It means, how do we cultivate this in ourselves so that in any moment I am remembering my truest nature? And we don't have to practice 20 years to do that either. It's not like that. It's this intentionality of remembering how we want to be in the world. So how do we remember how we want to be in the world? You know, when the person in front of us is like bringing us an attitude, like, how do we remember? So for me, like, I noticed in the airport, one of the airports, I don't know, when I was delayed, Nashville, they had a storm, I had a layover. I started doing Qigong in the airports. You know, the airports is like all this delay. People are like sitting around, like they're not happy people. You know how it is. We've all been there. And I just stood there and started doing Qigong and breathing. And then I looked around and I saw that some people who were sitting down, they started like just doing neck rolls, you know, little things. You know how we are. We don't want people to think that we're following what they're doing and there's all this stuff going on in us. And then, you know, people started like just stretching their, saw people stretching their arms. So when we show up differently, because we are remembering, there is this way that we affect right what's right there in front of us, right near us. And sometimes we don't even see it. And I wasn't looking for that. I was just thinking, well, I need to really take care of my body right now because, you know, this is constricted. You know, just the environment, the conditions are constricting. Conditions can push us into forgetfulness. And so how do we keep, for me, it's often movement. Moving my body starts my energy flowing, my chi moves again, and that opens me up. And then I start remembering. And for us, it's something different. It's not, may not be movement for you, maybe something else. And that's great too. There's no right or wrong way. What it is What do we do in our daily mundane life that keeps us in mindfulness of the ultimate dimension of who we really, truly are? And that who we truly are can show up everywhere, not just when all the conditions are favorable, like when we meet together with intentionality around practice. And then we're smiling and we're bowing because we're all doing it. So we're all supporting each other and there's that energy. What happens if we come off the Zoom and then we have to go do that thing? And the person didn't just practice for 2 hours that we run into. How do we bring our practice into that engagement? So this is, I think, our path. This is our path of awakening. And this is how we change the world. Because the reason we have all these wars right now is because people haven't been practicing. People have been living in forgetfulness, and that forgetfulness is when we water the seeds of greed, aversion, and delusion. We forget to communicate. We get constricted, and we're working and seeing the world out of a constricted state. We don't even remember the ultimate dimension. We are done and stuck in the mundane. So we want to change this, whirl of constriction and narrowness. We start to bring that out in the world in every single engagement, like the person behind the coffee counter, right? The people waiting on a plane that's just won't fly. Like every moment, in every single day, we meet them. So every single moment is an opportunity for us to practice with touching the ultimate dimension. That's always there for us. It's always available. It's always available for us. It's never not there for us. So how do we keep remembering to touch it? Well, thank you. Thank you for listening. I'll invite a bell for us to breathe in and out deeply and let all this go.